Amen. All right, so disclaimer real quick. Just want to let you know, if you're sleepy, get some coffee. Because I'm not nearly as animated as Justin is sometimes. He comes from a Pentecostal background. I come from Church of Christ. Does anybody else get quiet excited. Does anybody else get quiet excited? My wife gets quiet excited, and she just slaps me. You know, she sees something funny, she's like, smack. That's just how it is. All right, so as Pastor Justin said, we're continuing this series. And so I want to start by reading the scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 says, "This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Amen. When we need it most. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity today to come to your house and receive your word, God. And I pray that it is your word and your word only that we receive, nothing of me. God, that I just become a vessel of your word. And the Holy Spirit, I pray that every person in this room gets something out of your message this morning. I pray that we receive it and that we carry it with us and we apply it to our lives. I thank you for this opportunity. In your mighty and precious name, everybody said, amen. Okay, so we're speaking on a heavy subject this morning, all right? Because it's something that we've all dealt with. Every single person, you cannot say that you have not dealt with this because we are all human, right? There ain't no aliens in here, correct? We've all dealt with this. Okay, a lot of the stuff that we've been speaking on in the past couple of weeks, we can all say that we've dealt with, but this is one thing that is really, that really gets us sometimes, whether it's in a major way or a minor way. We've all experienced this. We've all experienced temptation, right? And I can tell you right now that one of my biggest temptations in life, okay, in all seriousness, is honey buns. She's smiling at me. I cannot pass up a honey bun. In fact, if you were to open up my book bag right now, there's probably a honey bun in there. I'm not going to lie. I can't pass them up. And the funny thing is that they are everywhere. Y'all pass, like, wherever, whatever store you're in, or you go into a gas station, you go into Walmart, go into Kroger, what is the last thing you see before you check out? It's sweets. It's candy, it's honey buns, it's stuff, like, it's strategically placed right where you can't pass it up. I can't break my addiction to honey buns, I'm sorry, and I won't. I just leave it there. I just won't do that. I'm not willing to, unless I'm fasting, of course. But we're dealing with a little bit more of a serious matter in temptations. Today we're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 4. If you have YouVersion Bible app, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to that. Luke chapter 4. This is the temptation of Jesus, because as this series is, he's been there, and he's been through the temptation. Okay, so we're going to read through this. Luke chapter 4 says, "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry." Okay, so the context here is this is right after Jesus is baptized. So as the Bible says, the Spirit descended like a dove, rested upon Jesus. He receives the Holy Spirit, and then he goes out, led by that Spirit, into the wilderness. Okay, he goes immediately, drops everything. Receive the Holy Spirit, and then go. Understand this. This is just the very first thing that stands out to me. Is as soon as he steps into what he's supposed to be doing, as soon as he receives the Spirit and steps into it, Satan attacks. He's tempted immediately. Right? When you step into God's purpose, be ready for an attack of the enemy. Undoubtedly, it's going to happen. Because the devil's not going to attack you if you're not a threat. and when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you're starting to step into your calling, you're going to feel attacked. Carrying on in the scripture, it says, "Then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone.'" God's word is the first thing that Jesus quotes. God's word is the first weapon of response to temptation. He immediately, as soon as he says, "Turn the stone into bread," he says, "No, the scriptures say that we do not live by bread alone." And what scripture is he quoting here? He's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, where it says, "People do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Jesus responds to the temptation with the word of God, speaking about the word of God being his source of life. He's out for 40 days in the wilderness. What human can survive for 40 days without eating? I can't go for 40 minutes. He goes 40 days without eating. This is testing his godliness, testing his manliness, because the normal man can't survive that long. So he's tested. And the devil comes to him and attacks the very thing that he's being tested in. First thing he does, "Hey, you hungry? Why don't you make some food right here? You are the Son of God. Perform this miracle." And Jesus understands that even greater than the miracle that he could possibly perform in this moment is the word of God and his discipline to not follow what the enemy is telling him to do. So even greater than turning like the bread into, or the stone into bread and creating that miracle, even greater than that is the word hidden in his heart. Because he spent time learning the word. And put it this way, knowing the word is the most dangerous weapon to combat temptations. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 says, "The sword of the Spirit, God's word, can be a clumsy weapon for those not trained by it. But this is why we must let the word dwell in us richly, in hand or in heart. This weapon is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword." So what does he do? He uses the word to combat the temptation because it is a spirit, or it is a sword that is strong enough. But notice this, that in that scripture it says it can be a clumsy weapon for those not trained by it. So you tell me, what does that mean? You can figure it out. It is clumsy if you don't know it. If you're training for battle with something and you're supposed to be training with a sword and you're not really training with the sword and then the battle comes, are you prepared? You're not prepared. You're not prepared to fight it. This is why we must let the word dwell in us richly. So the first thing we have to do when we're tempted is respond with the word of God. How do I know what God's word says? What we see here is Jesus goes into the wilderness, and what's he doing? He's not eating. What is that called? He's fasting. Fasting is a huge key here. Preparing for the temptation, preparing for this battle with fasting. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat has been told by some people that these three armies are about to attack him. And so what does he do? He immediately says, "All the people come together and fast and pray, seek the kingdom of God." And what happens as they're fasting and praying? The Spirit shows up and gives them a word. And that word is a word of encouragement saying, "This battle does not belong to you, but it belongs to the Lord." And so they hold on to this word that they've been given. They fasted, they prayed, they got a word. They hold on to the word. They go into battle. And the Bible says that they're so faithful and knowing this word in their heart that they go ahead and send the worshipers out in front of the army. If you got armies coming at you, are you going to send people who are singing and dancing out first? Seems kind of silly, but they had the faith that they were going to be delivered from it. And if you read on in that chapter, the Spirit of the Lord shows up again, and the armies turn against each other, and they're delivered from the armies. And in fact, they collect everything from the armies, what they left behind. So they receive out of it. Not only are they delivered, but they're receiving more than what they came with. So they fasted and prayed. Verse 5 of Luke chapter 4 says, "Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." This is the second part of Jesus being tempted here. It says, "I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them," the devil said, "because they are mine to give to anyone I please, and I will give it all to you if you will worship me." But listen here, this is what Jesus says. Jesus replied, "The scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Right now, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, which in context is Moses talking to the Israelites about moving into the promised land. And he's like, yo, the land of milk and honey, like you got all these blessings coming, move into this land. But he's warning them, do not worship any false gods. Worship the Lord and serve only him. Moses is explaining to the Israelites the bigger picture here. He's explaining everything that they could have and what they're going to assume if they follow basically the rules of the Lord here. And in this situation with Jesus, he understands the bigger picture here, because what does the devil ask him or tell him to do? He tells him to worship him, and he'll give him all the kingdoms. He'll give him all the land. He'll give him all this stuff. But Jesus says, nah. Jesus sees the bigger picture. He knows that in the end, God takes control of the world, right? We read in Revelations, Jesus comes and he rules the nations with an iron rod. Sees the bigger picture here. And let me put all this in a new way of saying it. A temptation is essentially a fork in the road, okay? So we all deal with temptations, right? We all deal, no matter what, like how big or small that temptation is, the temptation is just essentially a fork in the road. You come to this part where this temptation finds you, or you walk into it, and you have two choices, right? You can either go forth with the temptation, or you can avoid it. And so, essentially, the temptation is an opportunity. Listen to this. Just get this. Temptations are opportunities that promote either growth or destruction. It is an opportunity. Don't look at the temptation as fearful of it, like, oh, this temptation's here, I'm going to fall. Look at it as an opportunity to grow, because that's what it is. I'm a huge racing fan. Like, if you know anything about me, I quote racing a lot, more notably NASCAR. And I can already hear Cody Schiller saying, it's another left turn. Huge NASCAR fan, but I don't want to, like, show my full nerdiness out of this. But let me give you just a situation that happened last week in the racing world, in the NASCAR world. So there's... the championship weekend is this weekend, and there's a driver who had the opportunity to lock himself into the championship. There's four spots available in the championship for people to race each other. So he locks himself in. There are two people from a rival team who are also locked in, so there's one spot open. Last week in the race, he has a teammate in front of him in first place. If he lets his teammate win, his teammate goes to the championship. It's him and his teammate versus two people from a rival team. Well, what does he do? Instead of letting him win the race, he plows into the back of him on the last lap, wrecks his teammate into the wall. So his teammate can't advance to the championship. And in fact, who does advance to the championship is the third driver from that rival team. So now it is 3-1 in the championship. He doesn't see the bigger picture here, that if he just allows the teammate to win, it could be a 50-50 shot of his team winning the championship. And the reason he did this is because, in fact, in the first race at the same track in the same year, his teammate moved him out of the way for the win. So what he does is he goes on the path of vengeance and loses the bigger picture. He completely has his vision blurred. He has everything set on knocking this guy up the track, out of the wall, don't even care that it's my teammate, loses the bigger picture. And so he deals with the repercussions all week. We all have situations where we there's a temptation and we're literally tempted to fall back on hate, on vengeance. Maybe it's the temptation to overeat, temptation to, when you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, I gotta get these piercings or this tattoos to make me look better, or I gotta change my hair to look better, or I gotta do all this, but who are you trying to impress? We deal with temptations no matter they're big or small. Don't let your temptations blur your vision of the bigger picture. Whether that's seeking revenge on something. In fact, the Bible says to let God deal with revenge. You're going to have the temptation to seek out revenge sometimes. You get back at somebody, maybe whether you're driving. I can tell you so many times where somebody cuts me off and I'm like, man, Lord help me. But what the Bible says is to pray for your enemy. Pray for that person. Let God handle it. And in fact, the Bible says that praying for them is like pouring hot coals on their head. That's the kind of revenge I want. Like, I would like to see that, actually. Can you? To be honest. But don't fall back on revenge. Don't seek that out for yourself. I could chase them down in my car and then get a speeding ticket and deal with the repercussions of the law. You can fall back to addictions. That's a pretty big one, right? And there's all kinds of addictions. There's the drug addiction, sexual addictions. There's all these big addictions, but then we don't really think about the small addictions, like being addicted to affirmation from other people, addicted to pride. And then there's, even to take it another step forward, there's these sexual temptations. In fact, we live in a world where literally everything is sexualized. You can't scroll through social media without seeing something, a lampshade or something that's been sexualized. And so you have temptations everywhere you look. Sexual immorality, take it another step further. Whether you're single or you're married. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians is sending letters to the Corinthian church. They're asking him all these questions about marriages and relationships, and he says to them, if a man and a woman are having issues in their marriage concerning the bedroom, to fast and pray. Remember, fasting and praying, that's important. He says to fast and pray and then come together so that they do not lose their self-control, so that they do not lose to the temptation to seek outside of the marriage bed. So fasting and praying is a reoccurring theme, right? Jehoshaphat and his people. Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. The enemy will tempt you with the phrase, just one more time will hurt. Just one. That's it. It's just one honey bun. It's just one candy bar. No big deal. Don't worry about your cholesterol. It's just one drink. I know that you're a recovering alcoholic, but it's just one drink. It's just one night stand. It's just one, but it only takes one. Sin will always take you further than you intended it to go. You cannot give the enemy an inch here. He's going to do everything he can to tempt you, to pull you away, and he's going to attack you in the most vulnerable state, as he does with Jesus. Jesus is starving. And the enemy attacks him with, make some bread. Here's some food. He's going to attack you in a vulnerable state. And we have to be completely prepared to rebuttal that attack, to shield that attack. Because it's going to happen. Then the enemy took Jesus up to the tallest part of Jerusalem, to the highest temple. Tells him to jump off. He says, if you are God, prove it. Jump off this ledge here, jump off this temple here. And then Satan himself quotes the Bible and says that the angels will not let you be hurt. You won't even hurt your foot on a stone. So then Satan reverts back to quoting scripture, and Jesus again says, do not tempt the Lord your God. Responds again. So Jesus, the enemy literally says to the Son of God, prove yourself. Prove it. If you are who you are. If you are who you say you are, prove it. Just a classic example of peer pressure. He attacks his credibility. Has anybody here ever felt like no one believes you? We spoke on this last week and no one believed. Was it last week? I don't remember. No one believed. Jesus again is dealing with this situation, where Satan's like attacking his credibility. But instead of proving himself, instead of letting pride come out, like, I am the Son of God. Watch this, I'll jump, I'll prove it. He just says, no, don't tempt me. Once again, this is Jesus not giving in to the temptation. And then in this last verse, he says, it says, then the devil fled. He ran away. Luke 4:13 says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until what? Until the next opportunity came. This goes to show, it's not just a one-time deal. Don't think that, oh, you've stepped into your calling, or you're stepping into what God's telling you to do, and you've been tempted this one time, that that's just going to be it, because it's going to continue to happening. And what we have to do as followers of Christ is we have to be able to block it, to shield it. To we have to be ready for the battle. We have to pre-decide that we're going to make this an opportunity for growth rather than an opportunity for destruction. Because leaning into the addictions, leaning into all the temptations, that's going to destroy. Sexual temptations destroy marriages. Right? Addictions can destroy families. Bible says the enemy seeks to kill and destroy. So when he's attacking you, he has the intent to destroy you, to destroy what you're doing, destroy God's purpose for you. We have to be equipped. We have to be ready to combat it. So how do we do that? How do we guard ourselves and deal with temptations? We prepare for the battle. Every single time, we have to stay on guard. Jesus says to watch, be on guard, guard your hearts. first thing we have to do is we have to know the Word of God. We have to fast, we have to pray, we have to seek Him first, seek the kingdom of the Lord. When we're equipped with the Word of God, we're able to deflect anything from the Word of God is a sword. And in fact, funny thing is, as I was preparing this, it kind of hit me from Revelation 19, where in this scripture, Jesus coming down on the white horse in Revelations. It says, eyes like fire. But then in verse 15, it says, out of his mouth comes a sword. And he takes back the nations, and he rules them with an iron rod. So he uses the Word of God. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. He takes back the nations, so he saw the bigger picture. So we fast, we pray, we seek the Word of God. Know this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I can do everything I can to avoid honeymoons. I can stay away from as much as possible. I don't have to go down the aisle and grab them, right? But no matter where I go, if I have to get gas, like, they're gonna be waiting for me. They're gonna be there. It's gonna happen. It doesn't say that, but if you are tempted, He'll provide a way out. It says, but when you are tempted, it's going to happen. So prepare for it. Prepare for the battle. In fact, at the beginning of the year, we're going to be doing our annual whole church fasting and praying. And I encourage you to take part of that. It is essential. As a follower of Christ, it is essential to fast and prayer, to seek the kingdom of the Lord. This is how you prepare for these battles. Because they're going to happen. But let me say it this way. Endure the temptation, but respond with discipline. When the battles come, when the temptation comes, we have to endure it. Listen, we get this false idea that temptation is sin. Temptation in itself is not sin. What we do to respond to temptation can be sinful if we respond to our flesh. But if we respond with the Word of God, if we respond in the Spirit, that is growth. Endure the temptation, but respond with discipline. What is the discipline? The discipline is getting up every morning and reading the Word of God. Discipline is when you feel tempted. No matter what that temptation is, God's going to find a way out, and you have to take that way out. There's always going to be a door. If somebody cuts me off or flips me off in traffic, what can I do? I can turn the radio up and worship. All right, there's going to be a way out. Endure it, but respond with discipline. Speak to the temptation with the Word of God. Psalm 19 says, the Lord's precepts are fair and make one joyful. The Lord's commands are pure and give insight for life. What is a precept? It's His rules, it's His guidelines. It says they are fair. It is a joy. to stand with me. If you're dealing with any kind of temptation, I want you to understand that God is faithful. God is so faithful. He's not going to let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And what does that tell us? That tells us that what we think is all we can bear isn't always correct. If we think, oh, this temptation is just way too strong, like I have to give in. You don't have to give in. He's not gonna let the temptation become so strong that you cannot walk through the door of righteousness. So choose the door of righteousness. Choose the other path. Choose the path less traveled. Everybody in the world, this whole world is insane, right? It's crazy. There's all kinds of sin everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's temptations. Everywhere you go, there's temptations. Be the odd one. Be the one who doesn't fall into the sin. Be the one who doesn't fall into peer pressure. Be the one who doesn't get, just like, lose yourself. I've struggled all my life with being overly competitive. Anybody can really tell you that if they know me. I go nuts with competition. If I'm losing something, I turn into a little troll, man. In fact, at youth group last week, Isabella Eggleston and I were playing checkers. And I'm like, man, I got this. Like, I'm strategic. I know strategy. I can do this. And she just killed me. Like, we're like 3 minutes in, all my pieces went from like however many there are on a checkerboard to like two. She's like, I've won. She's like skipping things over, like a leapfrogging thing. I didn't even know this was stuff was possible. It just destroys me. But instead of the competitive side of me getting angry and just kind of, I would never like get angry at her, but shutting myself down, getting down on myself, I'm like, you know what? I haven't played since MySpace was a thing. So I'm not really that good. Kind of be humble here. But if anybody else constantly deals with temptations, like I said, whether it's addictions, sexual immorality, because these are things that we deal with all the time. Seek first the kingdom of God. What is God's plan for me? What has He spoken over me? Okay, I am a child of God. I belong to Him. Satan has no control over me. He can do whatever he wants to try to manipulate me. He's going to do whatever he wants to try to tempt me. But I know the Word of God. And I know that there's a way out. And I know that there's a path less traveled. And I know that I am loved. I know that I am righteous, and I'm not going to do anything to allow the enemy to make me think otherwise. If you could close your eyes. If you find yourself dealing with these temptations that are more or less too heavy to bear, I want you to know that God is faithful. And if we put our trust in Jesus, because all this points back to Jesus, because Jesus endured it, Jesus showed us the way. He showed us how to deal with these. He showed us to fast, to pray, to seek first the kingdom of God, to respond with the sword of the Spirit, to respond with God's word, to not give in to fleshly desires, fleshly wants. Because in the end, we shall inherit the kingdom of God. God loves you. He's on your side. He is faithful. Faithful through the generations. Hear the word generational. Generational curses. Maybe it's your father that dealt with alcoholism, and so you say, oh, that's just the way that it is. It's in my blood. Generational curse. You don't have to succumb to that temptation. I want to break that right now. I speak to that temptation. Speak to that generational curse. You say, oh, well, my grandmother was divorced 3 times. My mom was divorced 2 times. That's just how my marriage is gonna go. I think I'm gonna get divorced. And it's a generational curse. The enemy's gonna attack what worked in the past, but he can't have this. Speak to that. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your guidance. If I just have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your faithfulness. That even when we give in to these temptations, God, that you're still there. You don't hide from it. You don't run away from it. Even when we mess up, God, your mercies are new every morning. He who the Son sets free is free indeed, God. We are free of everything from the past. We're free from those chains. We're free from those generational curses. I am free. I am loved. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is our response. Our response to guilt and shame from past run-ins with temptation that we've given into. Our response is your word. Your word alone. Your guidance. The enemy can't have it. The enemy cannot have my future because I choose righteousness.
Amen. Let Pastor Eric know you appreciate that word this morning. How many are thankful that when you're tempted, Jesus gave us a way that we are not, that we do not have to succumb to that temptation? Amen. And I want to just share this. I want to share this one little thing. Understand this too, guys. Temptation is not sin. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you've sinned. Jesus was tempted and yet did not fall and showed us the way through the Word of God. Amen, somebody? Amen, somebody? Amen. I heard Eric in the office talking about honey buns. I thought it was a pet name he had for Kennedy. Apparently, he just really loves honey buns. For real, I'm just kidding. Stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing from the Lord. I want you guys to sing us out on that chorus, Another in the Fire. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. And the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, let's worship in just one second.
There is another in the fire standing next to me. And there'll be another in the water holding back the sea.
What's up, guys? I'm here with my beautiful wife, Luann, and we just want to say thank you so much for worshiping with us this Sunday at Redemption Life Church. Whether you're in the building or online, we call you part of our family. If you're new here, or if you've never taken this step before, right now, before you do anything else today, would be a great time to head on over to our website, which is
redlifechurch.com.
Redlifechurch.com, right in the middle of the homepage, there's a big tab that says new here. Click that, fill out the quick form, and get started today making Redemption Life Church your home for freedom and encouragement. Speaking of our website,
redlifechurch.com.
You can go there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a place to give prayer requests. You'll receive prayer. You can get started with Growth Track, find out other information about the church, stay up to date with all the events going on, connect to our huddles, connect to our Facebook groups. It's all there anytime, day or night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's a resource that we encourage you to use. As always, thank you so much for your support of this mission to be a place that reaches, encourages, and disciples in Brookville, Franklin County, and beyond. We can't do without you. We are preaching the gospel together and making a difference in our world. So thank you for being a part of this ministry. That's it. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same place.
See y'all.